Good afternoon and welcome everyone to the Metro Access Subcommittee meeting today on Monday, July 17th, 2023. As Chair Somerford said, we do have a packed agenda. Before we go into the agenda, I share some helpful tips for people who are joining through phone calls. If you'd like to make comments, you can press star six to mute or unmute yourself. There's a tool for raising and lowering hands. You can press star nine. If you're able to use these tools, it'll help us knowing who the speaker is. Everyone on the video conference, you can click on the speaker icon to mute or unmute yourself. And if you go under reactions, click on the raise hand icon that will raise and lower you. All the participants are on mute at this point. I would request for everyone, unless speaking, it helps us eliminate any external noise. We do have two interpreters with us on this meeting. Therefore, when speaking, please state your name and then your that this helps the interpreters in doing their job well. It also helps everyone knowing who the speaker is when people join through phone calls. And not to mention that this is helpful for people who listen to the audio recording afterwards. Chair Somerford, I can go ahead and read the agenda and then take committee members.
Please do.
Great, thank you. Before I start reading the agenda, I would share my screen for the convenience of some of the members. And give me one quick moment. After I finish reading the agenda, we will go through the roll call of the committee members. Chair Somerford will go through the review and approval of today's meeting minutes, as well as today's meeting agenda and last month's meeting minutes. At 4:10, we will have customer service report and the accommodations report. At 4:15, we will have Michael Wilson Award and the Metro Access Safety Award. At 4:20, there will be a discussion about some subcommittee work plan. At 4:30, there is a discussion topic for Metro Access Garmin GPS discussion led by Chair Somerford, Mr. Blake, and Metro Access service providers. At 4:40, the next topic is Metro Access reservations by phone discussion led by Chair Somerford and Mr. Blake. At 4:50, Mr. Blake will give an update about Metro Access minivans. At 5:05, there's going to be a committee discussion about Hettinger Award 2023. At 5:15, we're going to discuss Metro Access service area and grandfathering led by Mr. Blake and AAC member. At 5:35, have public comments, and the meeting is scheduled to adjourn at 6 p.m. Now I will stop sharing my screen and going through the roll calls. When I call out your name, please confirm your presence. Azar Atura, Darnese Bush.
Alert. Audio now unmute. Alert. Dami Sa'al has joined.
Tina Calabia.
Present.
Vanessa Coles.
Present.
Thank you. Rico Dancy. Tayan Farmer.
Present.
Thank you. Debbie Fisher.
Present.
Thank you. Marcy Goldstein. Timothy Howard. Steve Caffin. Thomas Mangrum. Linda Mazel.
Present.
Sandy Mazel.
Present from upstate New York.
Thank you.
Robert Worth has joined the meeting.
I believe Dr. Posner is connected with us on this meeting.
Yes, I am present and watching.
Great. Doris Ray?
Here, and I just wanted to mention I have a motion regarding the agenda.
Denise Rush?
Present.
Command, please. Paul Samuelford?
Present.
Thank you. Patrick Sheehan?
Here.
Thank you. Kelly Simon?
Let's say the time you want the alarm to sound. For example,
Weintraub?
Time you want the alarm to sound.
Okay. That concludes our roster for today's meeting. I just want to state that when we go into our public comments, we will have 3 minutes for each speaker. I would try to give a heads up 30 seconds in advance to alert the speaker that their 3 minutes are coming to an end. We are practicing this to make sure that everyone who would like to make comments gets an opportunity to do so. If you have any time remaining and we have any additional comments by people, then we will definitely come back to you. So Chair Somerville, at this point, I would ask for you to move the meeting forward. You have the floor.
Thank you so much. So as I said, this is a fully packed agenda, and I addressed an email from several people who wanted to speak on various topics and wanting time on the agenda. The way we're going to handle
it's
that.
It's hard to hear you.
Oh, can you hear me clearly, Doris?
I did before, but now it's the volume's low.
All right, I'm going to speak louder. So what I'm saying is, for those who requested time on the agenda, this is a fully packed agenda, so I'm addressing it during public comment period. You will get an opportunity to speak because we're going to stay on topic with everything else, but 3 minutes. And also for that topic that was discussed that came up recently, again, you could explore with the AAC chair to amend comments for the letter to the board. That's another avenue I highly encourage you to use also. So now we're going to go forward with the agenda here. Are there any addition to the agenda? Again, any other topics? I will allow you to speak during public comment period for 3 minutes. That's all I can afford because we got to get through everything by six. Any motions to move the agenda as is? Yes.
Space audio now unmuted.
Is it time to make the motion about the agenda? So I have a motion relating to approval of the agenda.
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I respectfully move that that the agenda be amended, strike the discussion of the service area and grandfathering it, moving it to September for a number of reasons.
Oh, do you want to move it to September? I'll be happy to move it.
I can't hear you when I'm trying
1-4-4-3-5-3-8-7-7-4-9 has joined the meeting.
Okay. I'll be happy to move it.
I was the one who raised it, and it was supposed to be anyway at the front of the agenda. And because of various things, including a personal emergency, I would respectfully submit that we delay it until
September. That is totally
That's
fine.
That's my amendment to the agenda.
And I will accept that.
If I have a second.
Second.
All right, so we're going to move the topic about grandfathering to September. Thank you, Doris. That was easy. Can I get a motion to approve the amended agenda?
So moved.
All those in favor, please do so by saying aye.
Aye.
Nays.
Aye.
Abstentions. The motion carries. Next, the approval of the minutes from the previous month. Are there any additions, changes, or anything like that to the minutes from the previous subcommittee meeting? Hearing none, can I get a motion to move that we accept the minutes from last month as is? All right, sending, okay, hearing the crickets, I'm going to assume that we've already approved our minutes unless I hear any objections. All right, next we are going to go into customer service report and accommodations report. Ms. Allison and staff.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Allison Anderson. I'm with Metro Access. I would like to present Mr. Dolan Chittums with MTM to give us our public comment report since our last session. Dolan?
Good afternoon. My name is Dolan Chittums. I'm the administrative manager for MTM. There was one public comment to address from the June 5th AAC meeting brought forth by a member of the public. The member reported a concern when contacting the OCC and requested to speak with a supervisor. The member's call was redirected to the wrong extension. Upon investigation, it was discovered that the customer's call was mistakenly sent to the incorrect queue instead of the supervisor's phone queue. Appropriate measures were taken to prevent such incidents from happening again. Now moving to the accommodations report. During the month of June, Metro Access received a total of 375 commendations. First Transit received 63, Transair received 91, MVOCC received 91, Challenger received 58, Next Merlin VA received 67, Eligibility received 1, and Abilities Ride received a total of 4. This concludes my report, and thank you.
Mr. Semaphore, I would also like to report on one outreach event.
Go ahead. I'm excited to hear that.
Since our last session, actually, it was an event, a community event that was held at First Baptist Church of Highland Park. I believe actually some of our members may have participated in that. We had representation from Metro Access there to answer questions for the attendees as it related to Metro Access or any other accessibility questions that they had related to Metro. Thank you.
And welcome, sir, to meeting our person to address any customers' comments, and welcome to our family. What was his name again, Ms. Anderson?
No, I was just saying that.
Oh, no, the person that's previously spoke.
Oh, that's Dolan Chittums.
Oh, okay. Welcome, Dolan. All right. So next we're going along with this very busy packed agenda. So next, Ms. Anderson, we're going with anyone with the Michael Wilson Award and Metro Access AAC, AAC Metro Access Safety Award.
Yes, sir. So at this time, I would like to present Ms. Stacy Bailey Brewer with Challenger, who is going to give the Michael Wilson Recognition Award.
Yes, good afternoon. Hello, Allison. How are you?
I'm well.
Good. I hope everyone is having a great day. I'm Stacy from Challenger, and I have the honor of introducing our recipient of the Michael Wilson Award. Her name is Miss Wendy Vizzetti. She officially began actually working with Metro Access December 4th of 2016. So Wendy is one of our veterans. She's an asset to Challenger Transportation. Wendy works the very early morning shift. As a veteran operator, she actively participates in the customer service portion of our safety meetings. And she quite frequently asks questions, although she knows the answer to them, to draw questions and communications with the new drivers. So she's very active in that. We don't have any complaints about Wendy, and she receives quite a few commendations. On a personal note, Wendy is from Louisville, Kentucky, but she now lives in Fallings Water, West Virginia. She comes all the way from West Virginia to Gaithersburg. That's how committed she is to our customers. She lives with her fiance, Catherine, her beautiful dog, Sasha, her wonderful cat, Misha, and Seven, their playful, toe-loving guinea pig. She has a daughter named Shauna and a beautiful, amazing, smart granddaughter named Anaya. In her spare time, she enjoys working with computers, doing photography, and working in the garden. I hope she brings us some tomatoes. She is currently working on her bachelor's degree in computer science and information assurance. Wendy is a wonderful driver with excellent customer service skills. And for this reason, she has been chosen to be the recipient of the Michael Wilson Award. Congratulations, Wendy. And I know that she's on here. I don't know if she wants to come off of mute. If you have anything you'd like to say or share, Wendy.
Yes, I just wanted to say thank you. And I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much, Stacy. And again, congratulations, Wendy, on the service that you provide to our customers day in and day out. With that, I would like to present Ms. Gina Parnell Fletcher, who is the safety manager at Challenger, to present the AAC Safety Award this afternoon. Gina?
Good afternoon, Ms. Allison. How are you today? And for the Metro Access Safety Award, it's going to go to DeAndre Leatherwood. He's a fairly new operator, been around for a year. But he has an impeccable safety record. He goes above and beyond every morning to make sure that if nothing else is done right, his DVIR is going to be done to the point. He never changes. He's basically like a robot when he does this because he wants to make sure not only is he okay, but those customers are okay getting to where they got to go and get back to. He was born at Howard University Hospital and he was raised in Germantown, Maryland. He graduated from Northwest High School in Germantown, and after high school, DeAndre actually played professional basketball in France for a season. He is 6 foot tall and 10 inches, and he earned the nickname of Challenger as Too Tall. Outside of Challenger, people know him as 6'9". DeAndre is the youngest of four sons, and he's also the tallest person in his family. In his spare time, he enjoys playing video games and basketball, of course. And his favorite food is hibachi-style fried chicken, or chicken fried rice, rather. And DeAndre is most definitely a true asset to the Challenger family. And because of his commitment to safety, these are the reasons why we have chosen him to receive the AAC Safety Award for Challenger Transportation this month. Thank you. And DeAndre, if you would like to say anything, you're more than welcome to speak now, sir.
I just want to say thank you to everybody, and I hope to continue to make everybody very proud of me and Challenger.
Thank you, sir.
All right. I think that concludes our award recipients. Again, congratulations to both DeAndre and Wendy, and I'll turn it back over to you, Mr. Summerford.
All right. As we working through all that, Anu, I see your hand up. No, okay, that was a mistake. The next topic we're going to talk about is our work plan. So every year we try to have a plan of things that we want to discuss for the upcoming next fiscal year, which began July 1st. So we're starting this in September, just for the new members and the old members on the committee to rejar them. I sent last year's work plan and I noticed we covered some of these things, and I've been updating this list. So I'm going to read aloud what I have so far. And then I want y'all to give input as to things you want to see on this work plan. It is, like I said, an evolving thing. So it's not the only list we can draw from. It may be other things that are high concern to you that you want to address for the upcoming year and months within the next fiscal year in terms of Metro Access topics. So reading for this list, they're definitely... I put on the list. I have on the list one of the things for the work plans to discuss the Abilities Ride Flex program, any updates, because what I've heard from Mr. Blake from this spring and summer, that he is looking to add other providers to this Abilities Ride Flex program. And we would love to hear, you know, what those are, hopefully as he's working through the summer and into the fall, who they might be and what areas of the service area are they going to service customers. The other one I have on the list is also Mr. Blake is going to begin to speak about today. And we're probably going to hear more information in the fall. Is he talked about Metro Access reservations, being able to make them by phone as another option in addition to talking to a person and booking trips online. So I have that on our work plan for next year to discuss. The Metro Access Find My Ride tool, as we heard about from Mr. Blake, where we are able to, for those who choose to participate, you know, see information about their vehicle before arrival and hearing any updates about that. We had a presentation at the AAC meeting earlier that I've included on the work plan for Metro Access metrics on the WMATA website. Hopefully by this meeting, and Mr. Blake hopefully confirm that it is live now, because it wasn't live at the time of the AAC meeting, where we can begin to see some of the metrics and we can come back and discuss as, you know, a subcommittee and recommend to the person in charge of that what kind of metrics we would like to see in the future at a future Metro Access meeting. We would also like to see on this work plan the Metro Access quarterly report on customer service satisfaction surveys return. Next would be the Metro Access minivan update, the Metro Access GPS system Garmin updates. We would like to see in the future Metro Access eligibility office updates for, you know, in terms of assessments and things like that, like we heard earlier this summer. And anything about the Metro Access customer guides, even though they've been doing a, Ms. Anderson team been doing a great job in updating that as of June of this year with the online information, particularly with the information about fares and also the window change, how that was, you know, very well done. With that, I'm going to open anyone else who wants to add anything to the work plan from committee members that is Metro Access related that needs to be discussed in the upcoming year beyond any of the topics I've already presented so far for the work plan.
Hey, audio now unmuted. Currently unmuted.
Go ahead, Pat. I think you're trying to speak. Go ahead.
I hadn't even raised my hand yet, Paul. I'd like some more updates on the real-time data. I know that there's a roadmap going forward, so it would be great. Real-time data regarding Metro Access, what's in the roadmap for additional features. Generally, I think the path that we're taking is we want to move it along the same way as we have with Uber and Lyft. And I know some things are in the works, so it'd be great to know what's in the works so that we can judge whether we meet those deadlines or not. That would be good.
Also, while in the same vein, you know, what Doris was saying earlier when she gave feedback about there may be a phone option for people who don't have smartphones, hopefully maybe at some point in the future with the Find My Ride tool, you'll be able to kind of dial in and get that information by telephone, hopefully, as a possibility.
That's also very good. That's good, Paul. Good. Okay.
I just remembered that very specifically. Is a loud and clear suggestion. Debbie, do you have any other topics you want to add to our ongoing work plan for next year to be discussed?
Yes, I think it's worthwhile that we have a report at least once a year of training that is being done with safety and Metro Police on working with our autistic ridership and those with mental illness, chronic mental illness. I think that we just can't drop the ball on that, because I think that a lot of critical incidents arise when people aren't prepared to work with that population.
could, is this Debbie? I'm sorry.
Yes, yes.
Hey, Debbie, this is Pat. I knew I'm going to jump in here, but I know we were looking at a safety briefing in September.
Right.
Could we perhaps, I knew, maybe add this also to that briefing as a subject area that we could cover? Debbie, the reason I'm doing this is just on the general AAC meeting, we were going to plan a safety briefing. I saw this when I was at a RAC meeting 3 or 4 months ago, and it was excellent. So I wanted to also bring it over to the AAC. But the areas that you just brought up weren't something that I remember that they covered at the RAC meeting, you know, not necessarily that it would be. So I just wanted to, I think it's great. I think you're talking specifically about Metro Access areas, sort of having this as a focus topic there, which is good. I also wanted to bring it up as a more general topic at the AAC meeting so that we could include anything with respect to bus and rail that might, you know, assist folks with these disabilities.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think we need it in all across the board. But
I think you're right about focusing, getting a focus presentation on Metro Access. I like that. Yeah.
Now, while we're talking about safety and Metro Access, given that during the tag panel, this AAC meeting, where they talked about the metrics part up to par, I would like to get a deeper dive as to, you know, and I know Metro Access management staff have been very diligent in making safety a very primary number one focus of all customers. What other things that might be doing in the next year to enhance that safety? As I looked at Ms. Anderson and Mr. Blake, and hearing that whatever targets not being met as to what other things y'all doing. I know y'all doing a great job. I mean, I hear out of everyone's mouth when I call that call center, if that's not the beginning or the end of the call, you hear something about safety messaging. But, you know, any other enhanced things that you're doing for the year?
So, Paul, on your key performance indicators that Jordan gives you, I think you had it last month in July, or this earlier this month. Yeah, it might be good to have her come back and do a kind of a deep dive into Metro Access on all of your key performance indicators. That might be good too.
Yes. And that I was alluding to for her to come back and talk about, you know, when it becomes live, and Mr. Frank will confirm that, or I'll play and find out and ask Mr. Blake. And, you know, other suggestions of things that, you know, along with Metro Access Management, what can be shared in terms of performance indicators
on the
Metro website.
And bus could do that too.
All right.
Tino.
And, Marcy, you have also a comment for the work plan and suggestion? Marcy?
This is Anu. Marcy, we see that your hand is up. If you'd like to make comments, please unmute yourself.
I was trying to do that.
No problem.
On Debbie's comments, it seems that it's only coming for working with people with autism and mental illness. A lot of them ride the Metro Rail and the Metro Bus. So I think the police need to be trained that work with on the rail and the bus.
And you also, I'm assuming, with Metro Access too, right?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else with suggestions for the work plan?
I just wanted to, as a follow-up, I'm wondering, I don't know, and Mr. Blake, you can comment on this, but I'm wondering if there would be some value in monitoring numbers of people who actually are removed from Metro Access for any periods of time. If that's something worth monitoring, if from a
Because what I think with suspensions, if you're talking about suspensions of service, usually suspensions of service, and get me wrong, Ms. Anderson and or Ms. Williams Hall, they're usually only done in banks of 1 week. And again, it's usually for the most serious things. It's not something that's done lightly, but I'm going to let management speak on that.
Can I just finish?
I'm
not disagreeing with how it's handled. What I'm wondering is whether there's information about training the operators for how to handle some of these people, or the work with some of the, whether it's families or providers or whoever, put somebody like that on a, I just wonder if there are things we might be doing that could reduce some of the chances for those types of events that lead to a suspension.
Well, and that's a fair question. And we certainly can share with you data on what we call abusive behavior suspensions. Not necessarily, we won't get into the details of individual persons, but we can share data. Say this month there were 4 people who had 1 week of suspension. Now, on our end, the service end, we do engage in de-escalation training. And Ms. Williams Hall, who's not here tonight, I don't believe, but she's been doing or monitoring and overseeing some de-escalation training we've been doing on the weekends. I'm scheduled to be the person to kind of oversee one that's going to happen the end of this month, I believe on the 29th. So we are definitely working with operators to de-escalate situations between themselves and a customer, or themselves and a member of the public or a stakeholder in those regard. In terms of training drivers specifically on how to address specific behaviors that may be related to a disability, I'm not sure about that in the sense in that we do provide something we call serving customers with disabilities, and that's a general customer service matter. But disabilities vary and they're so great. I don't know if there's a training that can cover, you know, a significant number of scenarios or possible scenarios that we can give the operators to prevent or to help hopefully prevent a person from engaging in a behavior that would result in a suspension. I don't know if that's really our role per se, but we are definitely trying to train our operators to not engage and not get caught up where a situation has to escalate beyond the behavior that may be triggered by a disability.
That's fair. I don't have a problem with that. I just was curious about it because as I see transportation availability for a certain sector of our riding public, there are no options after Metro Access. So
yeah,
That's the only reason.
And we take suspensions very seriously. Believe me,
it takes
a lot for a person to have to be suspended, because before the suspension comes, usually it's a call from me with a stern warning. But you know, again, when you're dealing with certain disabilities, the warning doesn't really translate. In fact, I mean, I think you and I can just be frank and honest that a suspension, depending on your disability, may not translate that this is somehow a consequence for certain behavior if you really don't understand what the behavior was to begin with.
Right.
So we try to have a balancing act, and that's where we bring the stakeholders in. And of course, a mother who has to work, doesn't have time to ride the van with the, you know, there's a lot, but it takes, trust me on this one, it takes a lot to get suspended from our Metro Access service, because we do try to bend over backwards and understanding certain disabilities and figuring out ways that we can accommodate without endangering the customer, the operator, or anybody else.
And I know that. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. I see Darnice has her hand up before I go back to Patrick for any other suggestions. Go ahead, Darnice, with any suggestions for the work plan.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Basically, mine is along the same lines as Deborah was just speaking. I wanted to know how the security people, if they're trained to recognize different disabilities, that would be more important than the actual drivers, especially when people use the rail and public buses.
All right. Thank you. Pat?
Those topics I knew would be great for the general session too, also on the larger scale. Paul, I'm surprised I didn't bring this up earlier, but Silver Line, we increased our area by what, 1/3? So what are we doing with respect to Metro Access out to Loudoun County, and just how are they handling it? And is that something that the AAC needs to advocate with respect to more resources or whatever? So I don't think we've had a briefing on that.
Well, from what I've heard from Mr. Blake, when the expanded service on November 15th of last year, it was 3/4 of a mile from the.
Right. I understand what the rule is. Mm-hmm. I get it. But I think it would be good to let's talk about the Silver Line expansion.
Okay.
Out all the way to Loudoun County and what we're doing to cover that area. And,
of service and things like that.
Yeah. In terms of services. Yeah. No, I know what the rule is, but in terms of services, and that's a pretty large area, for $4.
And I know that Mr. Blake has alluded to with the Abilities Ride Flex program, looking for other new providers that can cover some of the areas.
Yeah. And all of that can be part of it. That'd be a good topic to have. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Thanks, Paul.
I know there's only one Metro Access base in Virginia, so hopefully, we'll hear more from Mr. Blakey in the future about any other service providers.
I'm sure he's got plenty of information for us. Yeah.
Phil.
Yes, thank you. Just to simplify, because there's always great confusion about grandfathering. Grandfathering is a phrase that means that someone is excluded from Metro Access through a change in eligibility rules or a change in service areas. Yet, they are permitted to stay eligible, grandfathered in because they were eligible, but Metro changed the rules. And so because they had been there, they had settled there, they invested in their location, they are permitted to stay there, even though physically they are no longer eligible. However, a new person moving into that area will not be eligible. They will be dealt with under the new service area or the new rules. And so that's what we're talking about with grandfathering. It's all nothing right. Other than that. And the only time the situation should arise is if WMATA decreases the service area or changes routes and moves people outside the eligible area. Thank you.
All right, so you'll be the last comment because we have to move on with this tight agenda. There's other.
And I'm sorry, this is the interpreter. Rico has had his hand up too.
Okay, Rico, you'll be the last to speak on this topic because we must move on.
Okay.
David?
Yep, and this is with this topic for our work plan. So what would you like to
see? Hey, we thought about have the transit police are trained how to deal with different disabilities, like mental health, that's another one, like deaf reach, on deal with the deaf and the mental health service. Have we thought about that also? That's one thing I want to throw out also. For the people for people who are deaf and mental health service.
Thank you, Rico. We'll include that as part of the work plan. Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for all the wonderful suggestions. And again, you can give your outpouring more of love by email. This is not the all end to be all for topics. We'll be accepting more throughout the year. This is just the beginning to have a plan for the upcoming months. So next topic, we're going to discuss, Mr. Blake, together. As I pull up my agenda here, is about the Garmin GPS discussion. And I know Mr. Blake is there and Ms. Anderson. So the reason I'm bringing up this topic, I happened to make an observation, and I said, Mr. Blake, at least on two occasions, pictures of trips where the Garmin device on sedans were not installed or not there. And the idea of having the Garmin obviously is to help improve efficiency with the service, as I was speaking to Ms. Anderson and Mr. Blake, and also to help improve with, you know, helping the drivers, you know, find people, you know, in terms of that and safety and all that other stuff. So, and I know y'all made a big financial investment in this, and a lot of customers have complained, you know, said loud and clear, the old GPS is not, you know, doing what it all it needs to do, and this Garmin is to help supplement that. So, two things I wanted to address with the service providers I see on the screen in management is, after those two, and I sent you pictures, hopefully that every vehicle has a Garmin on it, and two, addressing, you know, really getting drivers to use it. I know most of them do use it, and it's a very useful tool to help find customers and everything, a great supplement with the weather, I mean, not the weather, the traffic, and finding even locations. But anecdotally, I've heard drivers just like, I'm just used to the one that's at the bottom. That's why I don't use the one at all at the top. I keep it, you know, off and things like that. But you should be really using the tool to help find customers. It really does work, as I've seen it. So, Mr. Blake, you care to comment on that, or Ms. Anderson?
No, we totally agree with you. We purchased those for a reason. They do utilize real-time traffic. The drivers are instructed to use them. And that's why, and it makes their lives much easier. So that's why when you reported those matters to me, and even better, you sent photos of them, I forwarded them to our fleet manager and to the offending company, because it is our expectation that all drivers will utilize those Garmin devices for every trip. Now, we have learned a couple of things, and some things make sense. So I'm a driver. I have Paul Semaford on. I'm taking Paul to the casino because he heard about all this money Denise Rush's won, so he wants a little bit of that. But in the middle of driving Paul to the casino, there's a trip insert. Well, that trip insert happens on the MDT, and they want me to take or go pick up that person before I drop Paul off. The expectation at that point is not to have the driver trying to type in that address on the Garmin while they're moving, obviously. And it's really not even to further inconvenience anyone by pulling off down the road. It's just to go ahead and follow those directions. But that's not what you're talking about. What you're saying is what you've shown pictures of is the Garmin isn't even up there. And in some cases, if it's up there, they're not even putting the address in. When they put
or it's totally off, and I'm like, and I'm like, this can really help you find the next passenger, you know, because I've seen it work and do very wonderful things in finding people, like in particular government buildings, where the bottom one will kind of get you in the area where this fine tunes it and gets you. And I said, it literally showed like at the State Department last week, get to someone right on the spot where the person was standing. That's how beautiful it was, where probably the bottom one got you nearby, but we'll put you maybe, you're going in circles trying. I mean, it is a wonderful investment tool, but my message with both management and the service providers probably looking at me on the screen is tell your drivers, maybe a little reminder letter, you need to really use that top one too when it's safe and feasible, as many, you know, very consistently. It really will help with getting our customers connected
And we agree with you. And what I would ask you to do, and all customers, and everybody has different capabilities and tools and resources, report any vehicle that is not utilizing the Garmin. We want to know that. And in your case, if you can take pictures, or if other customers can take a picture and show the vehicle didn't have the Garmin, please let us know. We'll deal with the companies, and they'll deal with their employee in the appropriate manner. But no, we're with you on that. As y'all know, as Ms. Rush always likes to say, I'm a businessman. We don't like spending money if it's not necessary. We took a lot of time and effort in finding not only an affordable resource to improve the lives of our customers, but as you just testified, a very effective one. And having it not utilized for every trip possible is certainly not our intention. And we want your help to help us enforce the use of these devices.
Question. You have a question, Patrick?
Yeah, I was just going to say, along with what you said there, Mr. Blake, I think, would it also be a training issue of, you know, this is why this is using this is going to help you because of the capabilities, Paul, that you just stated, you know, in finding your passengers. This is a big deal. So it sounds to me like training and showing them why this is going to be useful to you would be a good thing too.
We agree. We agree. And we are addressing that as well, because sometimes you hear certain things and you say, where did this myth come from? And when the myth is brought forth, it is our responsibility as oversight to enforce new or modified training with the operators. And you can best believe we've been doing this. This has been since that first day you did it, because when you reported it the first time, I didn't get back to you directly and immediately, Paul. Uh-huh. But the first thing they said, oh, no, all of our drivers have them and all of them are using them. Because I waited to just to see the reaction. And then after I received that reaction, I sent them the photo. I shouldn't be giving away who my source is, but hey, we done did it now. But I sent them the picture and it was like, oh, really? Okay, you're right. The customer was right. And so you just continue. We need all customers to continue to provide us information, and we will enforce the policies.
Because this is a really great game changer, because we all as customers have been, you know, begged for some kind of supplementation to that, you know, the current GPS system to get passengers. You know, I've heard Ms. Rush, all other people that, you know, they're not getting picked up officially, things like that. And this really does it in tandem together. So we really want to use this. And I hear from drivers, you know, oh, I'm so used to this, but you need to use it. But that's all I'm going to say on that one. Next, I think, Mr. Blake, you are up on the, you're always up on the agenda. Next to talk about, you kind of talked about, it slipped and talked about Metro Access reservations by phone as a possible option. So explain more about that before we get to summer months and when we might begin to see testing of this.
Well, I see Terrian is on. I mean, I'll give a quick update, but Terrian has been really leading this project, and we want her to continue to provide the most up-to-date expert information about this as she can. But just generally speaking, and we've talked about it before, so now if you call in for a pizza, you call into your bank, a lot of times you're not talking to a human being, you're talking to artificial intelligence, polite artificial intelligence that can quickly get you the information that you need. And we believe, while not every single customer likes that, and we respect that, but we do believe that a lot of customers are used to it, and people with disabilities use those for, again, banking, pizza, a whole host of things. I'm probably just telling on myself right now. I keep talking about banking and pizza. But on that note, why don't we go to Terrian and let her give the most official, up-to-date status of our effort right now.
Absolutely. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Terrian Williams Hall. I'm Director for Metro Access Services. So as Mr. Blake mentioned, we are in the process of implementing our artificial intelligence tool that's going to provide very easy to use natural language access to booking trips. And in so doing, customers can call in. There'll be recognition of phone numbers if you're calling from a number that you regularly use. The whole authentication process will be simplified. And we expect that these calls are going to take probably 50% fewer time than what it takes right now to book a call. So we look to roll this out in September. We will first, though, partner with you all with, at the subcommittee to test it, to give us feedback before we go live. We look to do that in about a month and a half. And then we'll incorporate your feedback into the final product. And we look for implementation in the middle of September. I'd be happy to take any questions.
Oh, I'm sure this question is for committee members. Phil has his hand up.
Yes, just the question of my pet peeve with AI is, will this AI understand Spanish? Will this AI understand people who give numbers in a little phrase that is slightly different from Rex Harrison's speech?
So
will it just hang up on you?
It is a thinking machine, which means that it gets smarter over time with use. What we are out of the box, it will offer 32 different languages, including Spanish as an option. And it also picks up on dialects accents, I guess, from certain parts and regions of the country. So it is very, very smart. If it doesn't get it right away the first time, second or third time that caller calls in, the system will have adjusted for those speech pattern deviations. So we expect that over the course of the next 6 months or so post-implementation, almost anyone would be able to call in and not have a problem. But it also will always provide an exit strategy. So if a customer gets stuck or they just want to get out, it won't be difficult to exit and get to a live agent.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And I assume that means you don't have to yell agent 500 times and beat your head against the wall.
You will not.
Thank you.
Yes.
Tawan, followed by Pat.
Thank you, sir. Ma'am, I am looking, Mr. Farmer, on the committee here, the Metro Access Committee. I am looking forward to it. I have been recently engaging a lot with chatbot, artificial intelligence, natural language, and it has been a fascinating discovery, both formally and in a professional sense and personally. Even last week, I called out a chatbot for being a liar, and it apologized. So it has been a most fascinating experience. Looking forward to the growth within the program, and I look forward to being a part of the early, people who will have a chance to see how it develops out. So, Paul, I really didn't have a question, more of a observation that artificial intelligence, that's right, in that respect, based on my own observations, because we're developing one out at my agency. We are looking to see where that takes us and how it will help improve time management. I've had a number of people always say, hey, these, you know, people going to people is slow. So they like to go with the online, booking. So we're looking forward to seeing how this helps people across the board, both with disabilities, the elderly community, and beyond.
Thank you very much for the feedback, and we certainly will include you in that effort.
Thank you.
Pat, go ahead. You have a question? Did you have a comment, Pat? You're on mute, Pat.
Oh, I'm sorry, Paul.
Go ahead. Okay.
Yes. Can you tell me what voice you will be using we'll be interacting with on the phone. That's number one. And number two, I would expect that this would then be displacing a number of people within the Metro Access call center. How many would you expect that this would displace? And any, what are your thoughts regarding those positions?
Okay. So first question, we have not decided which voice we're going to use. We are going to include a part of that decision. We want to hear from the AAC members to give us some idea of what sounds best. We have, oh my gosh, I can't even remember the total number of options, but it's a huge number of options to choose from. So we haven't made a decision yet on which voice you will hear. Second to that, though, is about displaced workers. So this effort is not designed to displace any MV employees. I want to be very clear about that. To begin with, what we hope to do is to address that time of day where the wait time exceeds our 2-minute threshold. So between 2 and 4:30, when customers usually end up just waiting and waiting and waiting, that's when you're really going to get an opportunity to use it the most. So it's during that time that customers, when they call in after they waited a specified period and an agent's not available, as soon as all of the agents are booked, then every call that comes in after that is answered by this machine. So the idea is to eliminate what we call abandoned calls, where customers got tired of holding, they hang up, and then they have to call back again. So we're going to do away with our abandoned calls, which on average is about 30% of our call volume or so over the course of a month. So now that repeats out of these repeat callers, we anticipate it's going to really improve the customer service experience because now they can anticipate calling in and getting an answer within a minute or so every time they call in.
Great. That was not the answer I expected. So that's nice to hear. And then I'm going to sneak another one in here before Paul cuts me off. Are you going to apply this also to Where's My Ride?
That's our phase two. We intend to do that next year, probably somewhere around the April time frame.
Good. Well, maybe Paul can take credit for that. Good. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay. That would be another.
Before I go back into one, I do have a question for you, Ms. Williams-Hall. How does this work, or does it have any effects, and I don't want to call out any person, with people with speech disabilities, how does it count for understanding people with speech disabilities or any variations or patterns, but particularly that?
Yeah, so it treats it much like it does a foreign language. So if they can understand, it's going to repeat things and make sure they got it right. You know, so if it's unclear, say, well, I heard such and such, is that right? And give the person the opportunity to give back an affirmative response or not. So it'll try a few times. And if the system is just simply not making headway, rather than frustrate the customer, it'll say, let me get you someone that can assist you with that and transfer that call to an agent.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. And the person at that point can say, just say agent if it's not meshing with them to successfully book a trip.
Yes, I haven't determined yet if the word is going to be agent, but they will have a keyword that they can use that whenever the thinking machine hears that word, it is automatically going to transfer that call to an agent.
And of course, as you know, with me, the big question I have is obviously there will need to be some training with the customer. Will that be explained in the online customer guide, and will there be an IVR prompt before this is rolled out to the public where you can go into such and such options with FAQ to answer about this, and also in the overall while someone's waiting in a queue for whatever option, reservations or whatever, we hope that's also minimized. It talks about this new option.
Well, actually, Mr. Somerford, we believe that that this tool is so intuitive that actual training will not be required, that the customer will hear prompts and they'll know exactly what to do and follow along. So if during our first couple of weeks we find that we need to give more information, we certainly can, you know, promptly adjust and address those things. But we believe that it is so intuitive and user-friendly that it won't require any kind of learning curve for our customer base.
Tawan, I see Pat and Tawan. So Tawan and then Pat. I'm allowing this because this is such a new piece to add as an option that it would help alleviate what's going on. But I'm sure right now, you know, reservations.
Yes.
Which is a civil right for everyone to be able to get a reservation done, and should not be a frustration you know, however they do it. Tuan, go ahead with your question.
Actually, this is solely, I only came up with a question because you called me a second time because my hand was still up and I didn't really have a question, but I do have a very brief one. This is a follow-up on what Paul just made reference to. I find that in my experience in dealing with, I know the intuitive nature of things is, you know, we greatly assume that that it will be the case. And yes, we definitely, you all have the full right to go that route. But I would suggest that potentially a video of an example being done on the website, even if it's artificially created, or much like we've been doing where you have additional questions, I believe under the main Metro Access number where people have been pushing like 7, then 5 and all that, could be an audio version for those who don't, you know, really have that access to the computer to just kind of listen to an example of how that process takes place. I may be off base, but that's just my suggestion.
No, we certainly will take that into consideration. Thank you so much for bringing it up, Chairman. And then for your follow-up, Mr. Farmer, we will absolutely take that under serious consideration.
All right, Darnice. Go ahead, Darnice, your question about this topic.
Can you hear me? Yeah.
Yes.
Yep, we can hear you.
My question is, you know, when you call in over the telephone or whatever, you have to come up, the caller usually comes up with a time. So how is the AI going to come up with a time of the trip? Will they give you like it's going to be a 50-minute trip and somebody, if I call in and say, I want to be picked up at 3 o'clock and then it announces that the trip takes 50 minutes and my appointment is actually, you know, before then, then will the AI redirect me and tell me that I need to change the amount of time?
So I think what you're referencing when you say time is the fixed route equivalent time or our onboard travel time. And that will continue to be offered on every call. But what I'm hearing you say is you want to utilize that travel time to help inform your pickup time or appointment time.
Right.
And so that's a little bit more complex than what we're going to be offering out the gate. So if a customer has that kind of request, it will be escalated to an agent.
Oh, okay, because most of the time, customers are not really aware of how long it actually takes them to get a place during rush hour or whatever. So a lot of times the person answering will prompt them and let them know that they probably need an additional time.
Okay.
So that's why I was asking.
I'm so glad that you shared that. This is the kind of feedback that we're looking from as we get ready to roll it out and share it with the board so that you guys can give us that feedback. Those might be things that we include before we roll forward, but I'm very happy to hear that because that was not an immediate consideration. And if we rolled out as planned right now, that would automatically go to an agent. So the important thing to remember is that once the call is answered, if the thinking machine cannot address the issue, it's going to be sent to a designated team of reservationists who are our best and brightest and most accomplished. And we hope to keep that queue down to a minimum wait. We don't want that customer to have to wait again to speak to an agent. So we're doing some intelligent call routing to make sure that that customer service experience is excellent.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
And also a question is right now, from, of course, I've not called in years because I do my booking online. I know they allow customers up to 2 times to negotiate a time before going to another agent. How does that work with this artificial intelligence?
We're booking in 3 negotiation efforts before that call is transferred.
Okay. All right. Any other questions from anyone else before we move on to the next topic? If not, we definitely can bring this topic back up in the fall because I'm sure there will be more updates and questions from Ms. Williams. Thank you, everyone. Okay. All right. So next, we are going to go to, I think, Mr. Blake, you're up next on the agenda here. And that discussion is about updates with this minivan.
Did you say the minivan?
Yes.
Yes, yes. We're still preparing the vehicles for revenue service. We're awaiting tags. Vehicles have been arriving. I see them every afternoon on the parking lot when I'm riding the train back home. So as soon as they're ready to go and drivers are being trained and again, we're just preparing. And as soon as we're ready to go to revenue service, I'm going to send out one of my emails to just inform the committee about what we're doing. And we're going to make sure that you all are aware and that some of you who ride regularly, you don't have to do anything. We'll just make sure we find a trip for you on the minivan so you can give us your feedback. Some of those of you who don't ride regularly or your trips are generally moved to other service providers, we'll make sure, like we did with the launch of the Find My Ride tool, we'll make sure your trips are on Metro Access and assigned to a minivan so you can get the experience and provide the feedback at an upcoming meeting.
Any questions about that, Ms. Rush? I always have to look to Ms. Rush to see if she has any feedback about that topic.
Ms. Rush doesn't have anything to say. I'm just listening. I know I'm going to get a ride.
And I would love to have that ride too, and so some other people. And yes, Ms. Williams-Paul, with the last topic, you can include me with that. I just gonna have to learn how to break away from doing online web booking for a while to try the system and, you know, give my feedback and see how that works as another option and see if there's any nuances with that and differences. It should be the same experience. It's just a little bit different. All right, next we're going on our agenda. We are talking about moving right along. Hettinger Award. So who would like to have any ideas or discussions with the editing board? Because I know Anu put this, or Anu, is there anything in particular we need to begin to discuss about this?
This is Anu, Chair 7-4. Just wanted to make sure that everyone on the committee, if they have missed the previous meetings in July, are aware that the Hettinger Award 2023 is going to be held in December AAC meeting. The nomination process will be in September. Voting will be further, allowing us time to order and ensure the recipient receives the award in November ahead of the AAC December meeting. So if anyone has any questions, any comments, all the comments are welcome. This is the last meet before we break for summer. And I will be sending out nomination packets, any information. So there will be email communication about the Hettinger Award. But just wanted to take a moment to make sure if we have any comments or questions related to Hettinger Award that could be discussed, we have an opportunity to do that before we break for August. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone with comments, you can always email it to Anu if it doesn't come to mind right now. Because I would love to early, because it's going between the public and AAC members. And the earlier I can start, the better. That way everyone is on the official record before, because this is the last meeting until September. If there are no comments about Hettinger right now, I can start moving into public comments, because I know there's going to be a list. One last thing, Mr. Blake, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
And we can talk about this in September. I do want on the work plan stats, but one thing I want to consider with the change in fare, do I need to make a formal request in September about asking the number percentage of fares that are paid at $4 or below it, or
do I need to make that request in September? Or is that something you can accommodate because of the price change?
Well, I think, I mean, maybe I'm not understanding the request, but I think you're going to get that in your monthly report anyway.
Oh, so it's already going to be incorporated.
Correct.
I thought because of the change, that was something I would need additional request.
Yeah, I think what you're going to see is the average fare is slightly less than $4 because if 99% of the fares are $4, and then there's a couple of little $2 and $3 fares from some of these lower.
Oh, okay. Oh, so that's already been modified. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Right.
I had to ask for it. Okay.
Right. Okay. What you see is not satisfactory. Then we can talk about it, but let's wait till your July report comes out, and I think that'll provide you the information you're looking for.
Also, during the summer, since we don't meet in August, if you can get us as a committee, as the AAC, those stat reports for July and the month of August, that'd be great.
Okay, yeah, that's no problem.
Okay, excuse me, this is Thomas. I knew if there's anything coming up that I need to check or do with this come to this committee, please let me know. Thank you.
All right.
I will let you know. Sure. Thank you.
All right, Anu. We are going to open the gates for public comment here. Tell me if you have anyone that are not AAC members before I allow the AAC members begin to speak.
Okay. Chair Samuelford, this is Anu. I would ask any members of the public, if you want to make public comments for today's meeting, please raise your hand. Or send a chat message so that we can take the participants in that order. We did not receive any public comments through emails or phone messages. We did receive an email by Sandy Newser, and that was this afternoon, as you're aware. That was the only email we had received.
Tawan is also, he sent me a text message. He wants to speak for 3 minutes.
Okay. So at this, I'm not seeing any hands up from public, members of the public right now. Did you want to take Tawan and Sandy?
Yes.
Tawan, if you would, begin speaking. And when you start speaking, I will start the timer for 3 minutes at that point.
Okay, go. I will be as efficient as possible. So my topic is about my experience at the National Federation of the Blind's National Convention this year in Houston, Texas. I had an opportunity to experience the paratransit system, the official paratransit, not any secondary, you know, ability rides type like that. This was strictly the main system. So they use standard, what I call bus and or large minivan style vehicles. They run on schedules that are usually 15 minute windows of arrival. The second most important thing that I found was interesting was the booking and monitoring tool. One of my friends and associates within the organization was able to book their trip, purchase tickets, and if they wanted to, they could buy tickets in larger bulk, discounting the overall price of the individual trip within the Houston coverage map. In that same web-based application, they were also able to monitor their trip from a perspective of the driver, the vehicle number, as well as the distance in minutes, how far the vehicle was estimated to arrive in real time, dynamic updating that was supported by, if you didn't go onto the app and check all of that, at the 10-minute mark, an automated would come to you and identify that your vehicle was 10 minutes out from arrival. I just wanted to kind of give like a broad stroke to how that program or service was utilized overall. Most times it ran efficiently. There were times where it did not. In at least one case, it was a strange day, the last day of the trip. But I think it's a potentially a valid resource that our people behind the scenes in Metro, since we are working through a number of things to make our program more efficient, could be a possibility. This is the Houston Paratransit, and it would be, I believe, valuable to investigate the Houston Paratransit system if it has not been on the radar in the past. I'm open to any brief questions if that's to your liking, Paul. If not, then I understand. I think Paul just dropped off. That would then default to Denise.
Can I just respond to a couple of things, Mr. Farmer?
Sure, Mr. Blake, go right ahead.
Yeah, so yeah, in this industry, we do look at each other and look for improvements and things. Now, as you know, some of the items that you mentioned in their app are things we're incorporating in our web-based app. And and we're working towards that. And so we definitely want to continue to provide more and more information to the customer and through that web-based app. Our initial focus was Where's My Ride? But you'll be seeing some more things coming through that.
We are always looking forward to a more robust platform. And whether it's web-based or over the phone, definitely. Any additional input while I wait for a call?
Yes, sir. Just a couple of other things I want to always, because one thing that Houston does, I could just speak for Houston, you know, from what I've learned, and other places do it. We don't, in part because we don't believe, and we're not saying you personally, obviously, but we don't believe you as customers here at Metro Access would really go for it, if you will. So one of the reasons we can have more discounted fares in a place like Houston is they have what we call transfer policy. Now, and you know, I know your trips are kind of distance at times, not all the time, but you have some distance trips. Could we agree on that? Yes, sir. So,
absolutely.
So under their system, if we incorporated that here, one of the things we could do is mandate that you travel X amount of miles, get off the vehicle, and wait for the next vehicle to come pick you up to take you to the rest of your travel. Now, that's fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if I could do that here, sure, we could probably cut some expenses on the fixed route side, and they'd probably even cut your fares even more. But I have a sense that given the experience that I've had just incorporating or introducing fixed route equivalent time, the fact that I would ask Ms. Darnese, for example, Ms. Bush, to she's already shaking her head.
They do that in Pennsylvania. With Paratransit in Pittsburgh, and they do it with the one in Philadelphia. You do not want to be going through that. If I were to the T, one time in Philadelphia, it was three vehicles just to go from Philadelphia City all the way to Bucks County.
Help keep you, you'll say, how does three vehicles? Well, you're keeping the vehicles in a certain area. You're making those trips shorter. You're making your trip actually a little longer. So, and that's why I appreciate hearing from customers. And I want you to continue to travel. And on this, Mr. Farmer, I agree with you. I think
alert. Audio now unmuted.
What your experience was, what were the positives? What were the negatives? Let's see what can come here in Metro Access, because I'm always willing to do things, as I always say, I'm willing to do things that make your lives better, make this service better. But as I always have to say, I've never considered myself a transit professional, even though now this is my 19th year in this industry. I can't believe I've been doing this long. I've always said I'm a businessman, and I come from this from a business standpoint, not from profit and loss, but how do you run an efficient business while keeping the customer in mind and at the front and center of what you're trying to do? So we want to hear about other places, and I'm willing to engage, and I'm willing to hear, and again, we want to talk about it, but just remember, there's always probably some reason why we're not doing it here in DC. When it comes to the technology we've talked about, it's because at the time we didn't have a way to give you real-time information. And in Washington, DC, unless it's a pandemic and there's nobody on the street, if you don't know what's really happening on the streets of DC, and I'm trying to tell you how long a van is going to get to you, well, y'all know that history. Let's just tell them 10 minutes because we don't know any more than the computer does. And of course, we want to get away from that. So there's some things we're overcoming now and we're working on it. There are certainly some things other towns do a little better than us, but a lot of times, Houston is not one of them in this regard, but a lot of times there are other places that do good things, but they only have two or three stoplights in their town. So I believe we should have continued robust discussions about features and what other people are doing and see if some of those good things there can actually work here. And I can tell you one thing, lowering the fares and giving a discount on volume fares, on volume purchases, because if you remember, one last thing, I'll close on this. Rico Dancy, for years now, it feels like years, I don't want to age him, has been talking about the discount that he gets in Cleveland when he purchases multiple trips at one time. But we've never done, and he's been advocating, and I say continue to do so. But there are things in Cleveland that I know my customers here in DC would not like that helps them enable them to offer those type of discounts. And transfers is one big thing. And I'm not saying Cleveland has transfers, but they've got some other benefits that this region doesn't have. But I appreciate the feedback. And I think we should follow up on your travel experience. And for the record, rather, Metro Access Management will agree, but don't act, agree, but try its best to implement, or kindly have to disagree. I think we should put that all on the record based on your experience to not only have this dialogue, but encourage others to bring ideas up as well.
Mr. Blake, this is Vanessa. If I may speak in the same vein, I had the experience in Houston as well that I would like to introduce to.
We have a customer comment list. I can put you on. There's someone else ahead of you.
Okay.
All right. I'll put you on the list. It's next after.
Has left the meeting.
So, Anu, next.
Yes, it's Marcy, and then, I'm sorry. Sandy had sent her comments through email, which have also been responded. So if she wants to state her comments for the record, they will be placed in the record in the minutes. If not, then Sandy, I'm sorry, then Marcy and then Vanessa.
Okay, so Marcy next, then followed by Vanessa.
I'm not sure this is the place where I am. Question. I've lived in Bailey's Crossroads. And last week I saw.
Alert. Galaxy Tab A8 has left the meeting.
That said Metro Way. And they were going to Crystal City. Is that too bad, or they were testing it?
Thank you for your comment.
I have to get more information about I'm not familiar. I should be. I apologize, but I'll get some more information and we'll respond and write.
Okay, thank you, because it would be helpful if I. No,
Barry. All right, Vanessa, you're next.
Okay, thank you. One thing I experienced also using the Metro Lyft system in Houston is that they had a same day pickup within 4 miles. So a lot of times I didn't schedule ahead my trips, But they had another section that they used, I think it was called MSP, where they just took the calls for that day, but it had to be within a 4-mile radius, and they took you the same day. So I thought that was interesting, and I wondered if we could check into something like that as well. Is that something pliable for us?
Alert.
Yeah, so what that is what they call microtransit. And they're very proud of their microtransit, and I support microtransit in general. But if I just got to be frank and honest with, we want to get to same day service here on Metro Access. But with your experience, that microtransit wasn't paratransit per se. You could be riding the van with me or Allison or anybody else who's not eligible for paratransit on that service. So that's one thing we want to keep distinguish. So that wasn't paratransit. It's a same-day service, but it's like a multi-passenger version of Uber. And some other towns have done it, but there are some shortcomings with that. And like you said, one, the trips are relatively short. Two, it's not quote-unquote paratransit. So could DC implement, could Metro implement a microtransit service? Sure, we could. And Access, myself and the team, be happy to run it. But here's a couple of differences again. If I were in Baltimore, I would absolutely advocate for microtransit because their system there is such a limited rail system. And there are so many corridors where a microtransit van could supplement the regular bus that is traveling up and down that street. Picture a Georgia Avenue in Baltimore, and there's several Georgia Avenues, York Road, Frederick Road, things like that, where a microtransit vehicle can supplement the regular bus service. Washington, D.C., again, you've heard me say it, and this is not to say Metro will never do a microtransit. Again, we're ready to do it. My boss came to me today and said, Chris, we want you guys to run a microtransit. I'll say, let's make it happen. Just let me know where the budget's coming from. But we'll do it. But the thing is here, we have, and I keep saying it, and it has nothing to do with me because it was here before I got here. We have the nation's most accessible rail system in the country. Putting an extra layer of public transit on the street that may or may not supplement that rail system probably isn't the best business move in this region. Microtransit in this region is really beneficial for one thing and one thing only: getting people from a remote area to the rail system. It's not to give you same-day paratransit service. I'm just being frank. I'm saying if you believe in microtransit, believe me, that's the buzzword in the industry right now. There's nothing wrong with advocating that and pushing that. But the microtransit will be for the general public, and it will be a feeder to the rail system. It won't be a Vanessa goes to Costco per se. I mean, you may get the Costco, but it won't be that type of service.
Well, DC has something like that. Why can't, and this may be something that the Maryland side would have to, or Virginia would have to check into, because I would like to go to Costco same day.
I'm with you. And Montgomery County actually has a, if you want to try microtransit, Montgomery County actually has a microtransit service. Now, I know it stopped during the pandemic. I'll know by the next meeting if it's back up and running. I'm not really sure just yet. But again, the microtransit is usually, number one, it's not door-to-door, generally speaking. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know about the Houston one per se, but I don't believe Houston was door-to-door.
Well, no, we waited at the curb, and they did get out and assist, but it was different. It was a van they used.
Right.
So it was not there. Like you said, it was maybe a subcontractor that worked that.
Right. So I'm for micro transit. I'm for public transit. I'm a public transit advocate. But just know it may be for a different purpose in this region. I believe even the one in Montgomery County had a lot of feeder to the rail service aspect, as opposed to picking up a customer at or near their home, taking them to a specific customer-centric destination, as opposed to a generic destination that may be near the Costco, if you will, but not necessarily picking you up and taking you to Costco on the same day. Will Metro Access get there?
Alert.
Believe me, I'm working on it. But the first thing, because there's a lot of customers who like same day service. We saw that when Abilities Ride was you all calling the cab companies directly. So we know the demand is there, but there was a much greater demand related to fares. And I heard from a lot more customers that they need to lower the $6.50 max fare than I heard from customers saying we need same day service. So that's where I focus my business attention and finding a way to make that a reality. And now we're going to try to do some good things so that at some point, very soon, we can bring same day service to paratransit.
Alert.
Okay. Keon.
Right. Anu, thank you so much, Ms. Combs. Anu, anyone else for comment period?
Hands now raised. Press F6 to reach pop alert. Hands now lowered.
Okay, Chair Summerford, this is Daniel. There are no hands up at this point.
Tino, did you have anything you wanted to present in 3 minutes as I responded to your email earlier?
It was the point regarding strobe lights at the bus stops which serve metro stations. And more familiar with it and better able to advocate a position is Darth Ray. I don't know if she's still on.
All right. Oh, Darth? I see a hand from someone in the public. Let me take that person. Hold on. Janice Samuel, I'll take you for 3 minutes.
Thank you. My question was, if Sandy Neusel is okay, can you please orally state what her comment or question was, please?
This is Sandy. I could just go ahead and restate my question, if that's okay.
Sure.
Okay. So a customer or an acquaintance of mine who would like to use Metro Access claims to be very frustrated by it. She walks around in her home using a walker and crutches, but when she's out, she uses a travel wheelchair. And my questions were, you know, would a Metro Access driver be able to push her in the wheelchair to the van or paratransit van, minivan, whatever? Because she says she does not have any friends, any family, anybody who can help her. I had suggested to her, you know, have a friend, somebody act like your personal care assistant. And Mr. Blake said, yes, the Metro Access drivers are allowed to push wheelchairs from the door to the van. And then the part two was that she has a ramp from her home down to street level from the back door, but she's been told Metro Access can't pick her up, meet her at the back door. She can't go down the front steps. And Mr. Blake said, if the driver is out of sight of his van, then he's not allowed to go to the back door, which to me makes a lot of sense. But she wanted to know whether there was any waiver possibility whatsoever to make an exception. And I didn't actually ask that question of Mr. Blake earlier today. So if he's got an answer.
Go ahead, Mr. Blake.
Yeah, there's no exception to the line of sight rule because there could be another passenger on the vehicle. Somebody may try to just take the vehicle. There's a whole host of reasons why we require an operator to maintain his or her line of sight of the vehicle. And also we just want to make some clarification in terms of the pushing of the vehicle. And
wheelchair.
Gotcha. In my answer, I was making an assumption that it's a regular, what's the old saying? The old-fashioned, normal, regular wheelchair. If it's a, as I was correctly, as I was corrected, because you got to make sure you're clear on things. And I'm usually trying to be clear, yeah. And I wasn't today. If it's a power wheelchair and it runs out of power, there is no expectation that a Metro Access operator has the ability to push a power wheelchair.
No, okay. So the wheelchair is one of those, I refer to them as a travel wheelchair. You can fold them up, put them in the trunk of a car. So it's a lightweight, small wheelchair. And I am 100% with you, Mr. Blake, that the driver should be able to stay within line of sight of the vehicle for a host of safety reasons. So thank you for your explanations.
Thank you.
All right. Deborah Fisher.
I was just going to clarify what the concern about the strobe lights is, but in the interest of time, if Anu would be willing to bring our concerns to the committee, that would be, or to the folks who are using that, that would be, I think, sufficient for now, and then you can report back to us.
This is Anu. Yes, Deborah. All the communication that has been going on through emails thus far, we will share that with the team, and any feedback will be brought back to the committee. So thank you for your feedback.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Any other committee members or any who have not spoke yet or committee members with public comment, since this is the last meeting, 3 minutes, any who hasn't spoken yet? Phil, you have your 3 minutes.
Good evening.
Followed by Pat Sheehan.
Yes, this is Phil Posner, and this is our last meeting until September. And since Ms. Rush hasn't raised her hand yet, I'll just ask Mr. Blake if he would like to leak the August surprise.
The only surprise I have this year is I'm going to take a vacation for once. That's one way I can not come up with a surprise. I need to just take a break.
But you were out of the country last week.
Well, that's true. I guess I was starting early. I think the only surprise Ms. Rush is going to get from me is she might see me in a casino somewhere.
You should ask her. She may help you with that. Thank you.
All right. Next is Pat, followed by Thomas Mangrum. Go ahead, Pat.
Thank you, Paul. Hey, we still have one more job to do between now and the end of August, which is going to be the revision of the bylaws. So, Paul, I think I asked you to get in touch with some folks. I think we have a list of folks, 4 or 5 of us, that want to start working pretty soon. Was thinking on Wednesday evening, 6 to 8.
All right, so I guess I will follow with Anu to help us maybe create some kind of Zoom or something like that and work out the details. So she'll give me those.
Yeah, we could start this Wednesday, or we could start the following Wednesday. We have a line that Anu is going to let us use, the line that we have now. And I think we want to walk through the bylaws section by section. I think they're in pretty good shape. So I don't think it's going to be as much work as we've had in the past. And love to get it ready to rock and roll by our meeting in September. Get it back to the committee for their perusal to see how we did, see if they have suggestions.
Patrick, just to preempt Mr. Torres and point out that we had permission from the board the last time to work on the draft of the bylaws via email and via conference call. But the final document will be discussed by the committee in public. So there is nothing secret going on. And so when you get your batch of emails from Mr. Torres, you can remind him of this.
Not concerned about any of that. The document will be discussed and we'll have it in open meetings. I just want to be able to get a product together for the full committee. And I think we've got 6 weeks. I don't think it'll take that long.
Yes, and we have precedent for what you're doing. I'm just telling you, precedent has already been set by the board.
Yeah, yeah, we're good. Yeah,
you're safe.
Yeah, not concerned. Good.
All right. So
thank you, Paul. See,
oh, no problem. Next, Thomas Mangrum, followed by Darnese Bush, and if we have time, Janice, I will take up on you also. Go ahead, Thomas.
Yes, this is Thomas. I would like for anyone that can help me, because I went to South Carolina, you know, Clinton, South Carolina, because my sister passed. And the transportation in the country, not that good. So I'm trying to work on making sure the transportation for people with disabilities get better. So y'all know any agencies for me to contact and work on this. I appreciate it. Other committees I'm on transportation with, they let me know some things, but I thought that other people might have more information to help me so I could work on it. And I would like for everybody who's part of this committee to check and see when you go to travel, before you go to travel, about the weather, whether it's not gonna be too hot or water floods and whatnot, because there's a lot of floods on different places and whatnot. So be safe, so I can see you all after the August break, and nothing will happen to any of y'all. I don't want to hear no bad news, so take care of yourself, and we'll look out for yourself, and pray for each other. Thank you, bye.
Thank you, Darnese.
I just wanted to know if you had my name down for working on the bylaws. My phone went out last time and I couldn't respond when Ms. Rush had said that she had my name. So
I do want to volunteer. I'm sure Nu is taking note of that when I ask her.
Yeah. And the other thing, Thomas, in terms of transportation, you can contact the South Carolina Center on Independent Living and Nichols APRA for South Carolina. I'll get the numbers for you and you can call me.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Darnese, Thomas. All right, anyone else before I will entertain Janice Samuel? I think she might have a question, a follow-up question. Nanu, is there anyone else?
Chair Summerford, this is only Janice is the only one with who has not spoken yet.
All right, go ahead, Janice.
Thank you. I just wanted to confirm that as of September, the WMATA meetings will be held on the same Zoom link and times.
This is yes. So the schedule for AAC, the full committee, the bus and rail subcommittee, as well as the Metro Access subcommittee, everything will remain the same. The Zoom information will remain the same as every year happens. There are no meetings in August, and we would resume all the meetings effective Tuesday, the first Tuesday in September, because Monday is always the Labor Day holiday. So we will start our AAC meeting on that Tuesday.
Thank you very much.
Sure. You're welcome.
Pat, you had a comment?
Nope, I'm good. I knew it was one step ahead of me as usual.
All right.
With the first Monday being Labor Day in September.
Any other comments from anyone before I entertain a motion to adjourn? Oh, I see someone with numbers here with a 443 number who wants to speak.
Yeah, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Yeah, if you can introduce yourself also.
Oh, yes, this is Nikki Singh. And I apologize, this is not exactly related to any of the topics we've talked about so far, but I did want to just get some clarification about, you know, what measures or what I can do to help the rides that I have just be more timely. Some of them just have been either very, very late, like an hour and a half late, or they've just been consistently late, like 70% to 80%.
You mean Metro Access rides, right?
Yeah, these are Metro Access rides, exactly.
You're in the right stage, yeah.
Right. So all I'm trying to do is, figure out if there's anything that I need to be doing to, avoid having a ride be an hour and a half late, or for the evening rides, that's when I've noticed they tend to be consistently late. If there's anything I can do, or any information I can provide so we can kind of minimize how often and the extent to which rides are late. So information would be helpful.
So I could just answer and say,
or Mr. Blake. Okay.
Ms. Singh and I have spoken on many occasions. I can appreciate a person's perception, but the numbers don't bear out 70% being late. But again, I want all my customers to be satisfied. I've shared with Ms. Singh, and Ms. Singh, I've asked you, to please utilize the Find My Ride tool as a customer who has also opted into Uber. If you ever see on the Find My Ride tool, as I've shared with Mr. Simmelford and everybody, that if you see your trip is late or projected to be late, you certainly don't have to wait an hour and a half for a vehicle. You can call Where's My Ride and request another option, including Uber. Again, we've talked a lot. I'll be happy to have Ms. Anderson or a member of her team go through all of your trips, and let's see where the Metro Access shortcomings are and what we can do about them and where there are other challenges. I have asked to put your name temporarily on our alert list so that not only am I following your trips on a regular basis to see, one, did the computer select you for Uber or not? But two, if it didn't, is your service running well? So we're going to continue to work with you. We want to make sure that not only the perception or the reality is neither a negative one for you or for anybody, and that's our goal. And again, we're putting more tools in the hands of customers like yourself and empowering you through policies and practices to say to Metro Access, if you're not going to be on time, please find me on alternative. And you certainly have that option as well. So, I hear you. We don't want you to be upset. We don't want you to have frustrations with Metro Access. And we'll continue to work with you to try to improve your experience on the service.
Nikki, I will say the Find My Ride tool, myself personally, I can't speak for anyone. Everyone has their different opinion about it. It can be used as an effective tool because I've used it for my own Metro Access trips. Like when I see such and such vehicle is projected to is maybe the middle of the window, there's no way it's going to be late. I'll pick up the phone and say, hey, I see such and such vehicle number is sitting near this location. Is that what you see? It looks like it's going to be late. Can I be considered for an Uber? Or can I speak to a supervisor, please? You can certainly, you can do that and see if the staff can accommodate you. I just want to put that out there. With that, Rico, you're next. Go ahead, Rico. Oh, okay, he's communicating with the terminus.
Over, I don't know how long I told I will be here because I'm having surgery, a 5-hour surgery. I don't know how long I'm going to be out. Of the month of October, I want to let you know.
Okay, thank you, Rico. Yes, we. You had informed us, sir. We appreciate that. That's not a problem. Have a good procedure, and we wish you a
Oh, okay. So I already communicated the concern to you. Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure because I saw his hand up. Okay, so here. Anyone else before we take a motion to adjourn?
This is Philippa. I move to adjourn and wishing everyone a wonderful rest of the summer.
All right. All those
in favor? I second that.
All those, and please do so by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
You are adjourned.
See y'all.
Thank you, everybody, for making this a very efficient.